when we refuse your discipline, your correction, or that you rebuke those that you love. The word says in John 15 that you prune us so that we can bring forth much more fruits. We want to please you, Father. We want to bring forth much more fruits in every aspect of living. We want to attain the standards, the heights that you have for us. Help us, Father. Holy Spirit, that you quicken our hearts day by day. Blessed be your name, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We've been looking at the book of James. The pillars, these are the pillars of the church. I said it before. James, John, Peter, these were people that walked with Jesus Christ when he was here on earth. And whatever they have to say or whatever they are put down, they are for our learning. And we need to give attention, close attention, so that our lives can be good. And if they are good now, they can become better. So we're going to just read and allow Holy Spirit to expound his word to us. The book of James, chapter 3, this morning. Let's go to James, chapter 3. James, chapter 3, and we'll read and gain understanding in the name of Jesus. Give it to us in NLT. James, chapter 3. It says, my brethren, dear brothers and sisters, this was James writing to Christians in diaspora at that time. If you look at the very first chapter 1, verse 1, he wrote to Christians scattered. Give us James 1:1. Praise God. It says, this letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. He wrote this letter to believers scattered abroad. I don't know where he was himself, but there was persecution in Jerusalem and believers went all over, scattered abroad. And we are all from different walks of life. But the truth that James has to teach us applies to all of us, wherever we may find ourselves. So back to James chapter 3, he says, dear brothers and sisters, the word brethren. Interestingly, James was an apostle. He was supposed to be a big guy. But he referred to believers as brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. And that's what we have. As children of God, if you have given your life to Christ, if you're a follower of Christ, you are a brother in Christ. If you are a lady or a female, you are a sister in Christ. He referred to them as dear brothers and sisters, and that's what we are. We are all dear to God, and we are brothers and sisters. Thank God for pastors, for ministers of God, for bishops, whosoever, whatever title anybody may bear. You shouldn't look down on yourself while you're looking up to bishops and apostles and think that you are less important in the body of Christ. You are not. You are not. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians and says, ministers of God are servants of the people of God. They are servants. We are your servants. Yes, you honor men of God, you honor women of God, but it does not make you less a child of God. And that's anywhere you go, wherever you are, saying this for the benefit of those in the diaspora and wherever God will take you to. Any church you enter to that your mate will feel less important than a child of God because of a ministry, that's not the right place for you. Where they revere the altar so much, and so much attention and honor and everything is on the ministers of God, and the people of God are like nobody. It's not true. That's not a right place. Something is wrong. We honor the men of God. We appreciate men of God, bless men of God, but we are not less children of God. We are not less important. Praise God. And a right minister of God will make you feel welcome as a fellow child of God. As a fellow child of God, we are all brothers. Look at somebody and say, this morning, my brother or my sister, we are all children of God. We are dear children of God. That's important. That's important. You know, there are some heretical groups, teachings going on around that people just think, men of God, whatever they say, you know, whatever they do. I don't know why I'm saying this, this morning. I didn't plan to say all this. But anywhere you go that you are made to feel unimportant, you are made to feel as if you don't know anything, you don't have the Spirit of God, you know, the prophet has to, or the minister has to, you know, receive from God for you. You are nothing. That's not true. You have the Spirit of God in you. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? They are sons of God. So you are a child of God. You may not know as much as I do. I may not know as much as my husband. I may not know as much as some ministers of God, but it does not make me less a child of God. Don't ever lose that dignity of being a child of God. Don't ever give it up. Don't ever give it up. That you're made to feel, you know, useless. You can't hear God. You can't know God. We have to do it for you. That's where we grew up. That's where we ran away from. Then the man of God is saying, he's the one that can pray. He's the one that can, that knows the word of God. He's the one that, and you are empty. No. And some of us, we are lazy. And that's why some of those people, they take advantage of believers. If you are lazy as a child of God, you don't want to get to know your Father, you don't want to read the scriptures, then anybody can take you captive. Anybody can easily lie to you, and you will not know. Why? Because you don't want to know yourself. A lot of believers are lazy. So when you find a minister that says, oh, I can pray for you, I can do this for you, I can do you just come. And that's why if that minister is not there, then your life, you are finished. I remember the story of a woman that would always go to a minister for him to pray and lay hands on her before she traveled from Warri to Lagos. Anytime she needed to travel, she must go and kneel down. And the prophet or the pastor or whatever it was. And that was going on for a number of years until she needed to travel and pastor was not around. The minister was not around. You know that she had an accident and she died. Was it God? No. Was it the fault of the pastor or the prophet? Maybe partially. Because some pastors too don't know better. Hello. They think that they make themselves important by keeping believers as babies. So I'm important that, you have to call for me when you have a headache. You have to call for me for A. You have to call for me for C. So I am very important. I say, I am very busy. That's raising spiritual babes. Nobody wants to do that physically. You want your children to grow up. You want them to become responsible. You want them to go farther than you. As a parent, as a mother, as a father. And so I gain from believers in this church. From believers, from members, when they talk, I listen. Because you have the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He said,
Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged more strictly. The church there stands for the body of Christ, all of us together, brothers and sisters, not the building. Talking about our lives together as people of God. Can we have that in amplified translation? I want us to see something there. That same verse. It says, not many of you should become teachers. It says, serving in an official teaching capacity. Is this classic? It says, not many of you should become teachers, self-constituted censors and reprovers of others. Self-constituted censors and reprovers of others. That is, you are the one going around to say, this and that, you are wrong here, fault finding, so to say. You know what Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 7? He says, when you want to pick up the speck in your brother's eyes, have you first of all removed the log from your eyes? It's easy to find fault with others. It's easy to listen to what your husband is saying, what your friend is saying, and judge. And there's a reason why James is saying that. He said, my brethren, for you know that we, of course, including teachers in the church, will be judged by a higher standard and with greater severity than other people. Thus, we assume the greater accountability and the more condemnation. When you are a teacher, you are expected to know better and to do better. That's what James is saying. When you are a teacher as a husband, when you are a teacher as a wife, when you are a teacher as a mother or as a father, when you are a teacher as a leader in church or wherever you find yourselves, when you are in the position of instructing and teaching and leading, he said there's greater accountability on you, on us. And there's more condemnation. So being in the office of a teacher, or in the office where you can correct people, where you can lead them, is an office of accountability. It's an office that demands you to live up to whatever you are demanding from others. It's an office that demands you to live by what you say. You know, Jesus Christ told the disciples, says, look at all these Pharisees and Sadducees. Yes, they teach the law, but they don't do it. Listen to what they are saying, but don't copy them. So we have to be aware of this. As a mother, you are teaching your children. It's greater accountability, greater condemnation. It doesn't mean that we're going to say I'm not going to teach, but just saying that I have to look at my life. Am I living what I am saying? What I'm trying to teach. I remember this happened to me years back. I had a maid in the house. And I was just screaming and shouting. And my daughter said to me, she said, Mom, I noticed that you're always shouting and screaming these days. And you know what I did? I shouted back. I said, hey, is it not this girl? She's always doing what I asked her not to do. Blah, 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 blah. Then, you know, as a child of God, by the time you keep your mouth shut, the Holy Spirit will kick in. If you're a child of God, something will just nudge you within. And as I kept quiet, Holy Spirit said, that guy is not your problem. You are the problem. Praise God. Says, we'll be held to greater accountability and more condemnation. So we should be careful. You know, it's so easy to say things. It's so easy to teach. It's so easy to demand. It's so easy. And this is what I want. But it's not so easy to do. It's not so easy to do. Next verse, verse 2. Let's go back to NLT. Or should we stay here? Let's stay here. He said, for we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. Says, we often. Everybody say often. The word often, what does it mean? It means frequently. It's not once in a while. It means something that happens again and again. And Apostle James says, we all. He didn't say you all. And that's one of the things that we must realize about ourselves as human beings. It says, for we all stumble. What does it mean to stumble? You trip. You miss your step. You make mistake. You didn't want to do that, but you have done it. It says, we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. Hallelujah. Is that you? No, it's not me. I don't fall. I don't stumble. I don't offend. Do you? Do you? No. We don't see ourselves that way. It's easy for us to see others that way. It's easy for us to see others fall, others fumble, others make mistakes. It's so easy for us. But as a growing Christian, for someone who is going to get bigger and get better, you must understand that you, as a person, regardless of how long you have known the Lord, regardless of how, whatever your title or position or deacon or deaconess, or we often stumble and fall. That consciousness must be in us that we are not as good as we think we are. I'm not as good as I think I am. I'm not as perfect. I'm not as put together as I think I am. And that's a humbling assessment that will help you, that will checkmate your life, that will help you to keep yourself together. That humble assessment of your life. That as a mother, I don't know it all. I fumble. I make mistakes. Let me give you an example. One day, I picked up my daughter from school after the end of a term, and I collected her results. I saw the results, and I started screaming and shouting. After all this, after all the effort, after Kiniko, why this? See what you scored in mathematics, blah, 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 blah. We got home. I had prepared lunch, so I just left the kitchen. That's your food. Take your food. I went to my room. It was on a service day. By the time I came downstairs for us to prepare to go to church, my daughter was missing in the house. She had left the house. You know, I went to her room. I went this. I went that. Where's this girl? She was nowhere to be found. Long story, let me cut it short. At the end of the day, we found that like around 8 p.m. The earless will remember this. We found out around 8. It was on a service day. We came to church. I was in church and I was not in church. You understand that? My husband was like, where could she have gone? Then I said, this is what happened. I rebuked her concerning her results. I didn't beat her. You know, I didn't beat her. All right, we found her. And funny enough, that day, my husband just left her. Didn't say a word. We just kept quiet. Yes, the girl grew up, and one day we were having a conversation. He said, Mom, do you know what you said to me that day? I said, what did I say? He said, You compared me with somebody else. That I told her that, don't you see so and so? She's doing very well. What's your problem? And God is my witness, I could not remember saying that. But I said to her, I don't think I said that. She said, Mom, you said that. And Mom, do you know the reason why I left home that day? Because I felt that I had put in so much effort that particular time. And you didn't look at all other subjects. It was only mathematics you focused on. Well, for her, she's like, I don't even want to remember that I ran out of the house because my mother rebuked me. I mean, she was saying that she couldn't even, she didn't know what came over her. But I stumbled that day without me knowing, thinking I was rebuking. I had the right to rebuke. We pay school fees. And who does not want the child to come up with flying colors? But I stumbled by what I said that day, how I said it, even though I'm still the mother. By the time we're not having that conversation, she had grown. She said, Mom, I'm very sorry. I don't even want to remember. It's like I wish I could wipe it off my memory or my record that I ran out of the house because my mom rebuked me. And you know what she did? She went to a classmate's house and they were just playing in the compound. And when the parents of that one came in, that one went in with his parents and my daughter was just hanging around in the compound. Then somebody drove in and saw, who is in that compound? And she mentioned her name. I know one Pastor Amosun. Is that your father? And that's how we found my daughter. Praise God. Inasmuch as you are the husband, they are my wife. Is this? My wife is that. Also remember that you can stumble and fall and offend in many ways. And do you know, James put something there. He says, if anyone does not offend in speech, that is, never says the wrong things, is a fully developed character and a perfect man, able to control his own body and to curb his entire nature. If anyone does not offend in speech. And I think that's an height, that's a standard that each and every one of us should aim towards. That your offense, the offenses that you cause in your relationships, in life, wherever you find yourself, they are reducing, especially the offenses that we cause in speech, that is by what we say. And you know, that's the primary way of even offending people, of stumbling by this thing under our nose, by what we say, how we say it, to who we say it. It says, if anyone does not offend, is it possible not to offend in speech? Not to offend at all? I'm not there yet. But I think it's a worthwhile thing for us to aim at, to begin to look at our lives, to be conscious of what we say. It says, if anyone does not offend, what does it mean to offend? That means to hurt somebody, to hurt someone. To hurt somebody else, to cause things that will cause strife, things that will cause somebody to get angry with you, get mad at you, you know, want to fight you. Those are the things that constitute offense by what we say. You see, such a person is a fully developed character. and a perfect man. You say, nobody is perfect. But Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, the last verse, he says, as your heavenly Father is perfect, be ye perfect. That is, it's something that you should aim towards. You should aspire. Growth, maturity. That's like the heavenly Father. You know, no matter how much you offend God, there are certain things that God will not say about you. You know what caused Moses to miss entering into the promised land? Do you know what caused him? That God said, you will not. Yoruba will say that, help me to beat my child. He does not, he's not from the heart of that person. He used his mouth to say, you stubborn, stiff-necked, rebellious. And God said, those are my children. And because of that, and Bible says Moses was the meekest. So if the meekest, so we have to be conscious of that. I don't have friends. And this one is fighting me. That one is not fighting me. There's no peace in the house. Do you know where to check? This thing. What comes out of your mouth? Oh, I don't retain customers. Check this thing. Check what you say. How you say. What you say. Praise God. Let me stop there today. Praise God.
Hallelujah.